Now I got to preach. I get to preach yet.
Hebrews chapter 11
is our text today. Hebrews 11. Now, Lord, I come to you and I pray that you would illuminate your word to our hearts and to our minds, that you would transform us more fully into the image of Christ, Father, that we might bring you glory and honor. Lord, this is not about us, it's about you. And we come, Lord, as your children. And we are looking to our Father to speak to us today, Lord, about faith and have a more mature understanding of what faith is. So we ask that you would grant the anointing of your Spirit on this frail and weak vessel, this preacher. But Lord, that you would be mighty in your word and spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Hebrews chapter 11 is a familiar passage. It's one that a lot of times preachers call the Hall of Faith or the Westminster Abbey of Scripture. It's the faith chapter. It is not a definition of faith. It is a description of faith, and it is a demonstration of faith. Read with me beginning in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. He was the first man raptured, by the way. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having, watch these words, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed, pardon me, to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. And it goes on and on. Example, description after description of what faith is. And we're going to look at faith this morning. The believers to whom this letter was written, as we've seen over and over again through this walk through Hebrews, were tempted to depart from the faith because of persecution and hardship. They wanted to go back to the law of Moses. At least they would escape persecution. Their confidence was in the visible things of this world rather than in the invisible realities of God. Beloved, that which is invisible is more real than that which is visible when it comes to the things of God. That's how Abraham could offer his own son, Isaac, on the altar, because God told him to, and in obedience to him, in faith, in this God who actually spoke to him, he raised that dagger to slay his own son, believing that if he did slay him, that God would raise him from the dead, because God had promised him that he would be the father of many nations. That's faith. We exercise faith every day, day in and day out. You exercise faith this morning coming to church. You got in your car. No, did anybody walk to church this morning? Nobody? You got in your car, you stuck your key in the ignition, and you turned it, believing, having faith, that it was going to start. Sometimes that natural kind of faith doesn't happen. You ever turned your key and it didn't start? Every day you go to the faucet in your house and you turn the water on and you drink it in faith, believing that it won't kill you. And sometimes when I read those reports, I think it might almost kill you. In faith, you go to the restaurant and you order a meal and you sit down and eat, believing that there's no salmonella in that chicken. And sometimes there is salmonella in that chicken. You could think of a dozen things or thousands of things, perhaps, that in ways that you exercise faith every day. What about this one? When you go to the doctor, you go in there in need of surgery, and you have faith that doctor knows what he's doing. And when he makes that incision and repairs or removes or replaces whatever whatever it is that needs attention, that he's going to do the right job and it's going to work and you're going to be better. You do those things in faith. That's the natural kind of faith. But relating with God is not natural. It's supernatural. Relating with God is more than natural ability and faith. It is supernatural. If you look at those descriptions of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, you see that every one of them required the activity and the work of God. You see, that surgeon can do surgery without God. You can drink water without God. But you can't enter into the realm of biblical faith, into that relationship with God, without supernatural intervention. And we love to counterfeit the work of God. We love to say something is of God when he didn't have anything to do with it. If it's something you can do on your own, it's probably not of God. Let's talk about what faith is not. Faith is not blind optimism or a manufactured or conjured up hope so feeling or emotion. It is not assent to a doctrinal statement. We say we have a statement of faith. Yes, that's what we call our doctrinal statement. But having faith is not just a doctrinal statement. And it is not passive. It's active. You notice that in every case, these people who had heard from God obeyed God. They took action. Faith is not a wistful longing that something may come to pass in some uncertain tomorrow. It is not simply one way to please God. Verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. True faith, biblical faith, is confident obedience to God's word and revelation in spite of circumstances or consequences for that obedience. Abraham obeyed God, not knowing where he was going. Abraham laid his son Isaac on the altar, not knowing, but believing God would raise him up. The circumstances were impossible as far as Abraham's strength was concerned, but with God, all things are possible. Faith is our total response to what God has revealed to us by His Spirit through the Word, prayer, the circumstances of our lives, and through the church, the body of believers. There are three words, there are three concepts I think I see here in Hebrews chapter 11 that tell us or summarize what faith is. In verse 1, it says, faith is assurance. It is substance, the King James says, which means literally, it is a word that means literally to stand under or to support. It comes from a word that is translated in Hebrews chapter 1. In fact, just look at that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The same word is used here. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that Christ is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. The word is there, representation. He is the assurance. Christ is the substance of God in the flesh, on earth. And our faith, our salvation, rests completely on Him. He is the support of the Christian faith. Without Christ, there is no Christianity. Without the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, there is no foundation for what we believe. That's what that word means. It is the substance of things hoped for, or the assurance of things unseen. Secondly, he says it is the conviction of things not seen. Conviction. The inward conviction from God that what He has promised, He will perform. You see that in the lives of these saints that are mentioned here. He has promised eternal life. He has promised the resurrection of the from the grave. Do you believe in the resurrection? You believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? You believe that after you die that Jesus is going to come, and at some point in His timetable, He's going to be raising all believers from the grave, and we're going to be reunited with a glorified body in heaven? You believe that? How did you come to believe that? Right, by faith. And it wasn't your idea. God didn't put those, you didn't come up with those things on your own. It was faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not something you did, that no man should boast. Faith is a gift from God. If God didn't give you the gift of faith, you can't believe. You can be religious. You can come to this church and you can learn how we try to behave ourselves in church. You can learn how, you know, what time church starts, what time it ends, when we stand, when we sit, when we pray. You can give your money. You can do all these things. You can teach Sunday school and pastor the church and do all those things. Without faith, but if you have faith, it is a gift from God. Now, the third thing that I want you to see here, and it's in several verses, but is that faith always produces a witness. Look at verse 2. By faith we understand that the world's... I'm sorry. What verse am I looking at? Verse 2, yeah. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So what do we see? We see what Abraham saw. We look up into the skies, and the stars are innumerable, witnessing the reality of God. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice, through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous. How did he become righteous? By faith in God. God was testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. We're still talking about Abel. In verse 5, for example, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Look at verse 39. We'll go way over there on the other end of this thing. Verse 39 says, and all of these, talking about everyone that's mentioned in this chapter, having gained approval for their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they would not be made perfect. In other words, they were looking forward to, and their lives testified to the belief, the faith that they had, because they obeyed God when he spoke. They had a witness before God. Faith is a gift from God that produces in the heart of believers real faith. Let me give you an example. There's a story told by the captain of a ship on which George Mueller was traveling. George Mueller was a man who was called of God to minister to the orphans in England. And he was traveling on this ship. And, before I say that, let me say that during his lifetime, without mentioning it to one person, only praying to God, asking God to provide, he received over $1 million British pounds of money in his lifetime, and he lived in the 1800s. That's a lot of dinero, in case you didn't know. And he never asked for one penny. Well, the captain said, we had George Mueller of Bristol on board. I had been on the bridge for 24 hours. And never left the bridge. And George Mueller came to me and said, Captain, I've come to tell you that I've got to be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon. The captain said, Mr. Mueller, that's impossible. Then very well, if your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way to get me there. I've never broken an appointment in 57 years, and let us go down into the chart room and pray. I looked at that man of God, the captain said, and thought to myself, what lunatic asylum did he get out of? For I've never heard of such a thing as this. Mr. Mueller, I said, do you know how dense this fog is? George Mueller said, no. My eye is not, listen to this, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. So he knelt down, and he prayed one of the most simple prayers. When he had finished, I was going to pray, said the captain, but he put his hand on my shoulder and told me, don't you pray. You do not believe that God will answer. I believe he has answered, so there's no need for you to pray. I looked at him, and George Mueller said, Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years, and there's never been a single day when I have failed to get an audience with the king. Get up and open the door, and you will find that the fog is gone. And it was gone. And he made his appointment. Boy, would you like to know God like that? You can. You can know God like that. George Mueller obtained a witness. Listen to this. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. Look at verse 7 here in chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, prepared an ark. Noah could see the things that the people around him could not see. He took God at his word and lived as if the future was the present and that the invisible was visible. That's how Noah lived. That's how these heroes of the faith lived. Faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Oswald Chambers said it this way: faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as the present and the invisible as something that is seen. In each of the demonstrations of faith, in each of these testimonies, we see four things. Number one, God spoke to them. God spoke to them. I was talking to a man a while back, pastors of church. He went into a group of men one day and he asked them, he said, "Men, has God ever spoken to you?" They said, "No, God had never spoken to me." Not one man say God has spoken to them. And all these men studied the Bible. And like a dagger in my heart, the words of Jesus came to my mind when that man shared that with me. He said, "You do not hear the words of God because you are not of God." The man who has received the gift of faith, the man who's turned away from himself and his sin and received Jesus Christ as his Savior, has a real, personal, meaningful relationship with God. He hears God's voice. You don't hear God's voice, there's a possibility that you've not been saved. God spoke to these, and then they were stirred in their heart. Their inner selves were stirred, and they obeyed God. And then he bore witness through their lives. And God used the most unlikely and did the most unbelievable and the impossible in their lives. Now, brother, that gets exciting right there when God does the impossible. What if I pray for something then, preacher, and it doesn't happen? What if I say I have a word from God and it doesn't come to pass? I might be seen as a failure. I would be embarrassed. Listen, you cannot fail if you're obeying the voice of God. Now, sometimes you may sense that you have a word from God and you don't. But we'll put on your tombstone, "At least he tried." You know what? I'd rather ask amiss and not get it than to not ask at all because I'm afraid I wouldn't get it. You understand that? It's better to ask, even though you don't know the mind of God perfectly and you don't always know the will of God perfectly. It's better to ask than not to ask. Because a blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while. And as you practice prayer, as you live with God and you live in His Word and you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, you just get better and better at it. You get better and better. My prayer life is not the same as it was 30 years ago. Thank goodness. Something's happened. But when God speaks, we must obey what He says. That's the key. Faith plus obedience equals transformation. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. There was this old Scotsman that operated a little rowboat business, and he'd transport passengers across this river, and one day a passenger noticed that the old man had carved on his two oars. One, he carved the word faith, and on the other, he carved the word obedience or works. Faith and works. So curiosity got the best of this guy, and he asked the old man what that meant. So he said, "Let me show you." So he dropped one oar, and he started pulling just one oar. And he just went around in circles. He pulled on faith, and it just went around in circles. Then he put that oar down. He got over and reached over the one called works. And he started rowing with that oar. And then he went in circles the other direction. And then he got both oars. He got a hold of faith and works. And he started rowing and he went across the water with great speed, accomplishing his destination in just a little bit. You know what? A lot of people are like that guy when he's pulling on one oar. They're just working and a-working and a-working and a-working and just going in a circle, just a-working and a-working and a-working. Everybody's saying, oh my goodness, look how hard they work. And not one bit of it's done in faith. It's all about you. You know, Jimmy's trying to get a lot of people to work and volunteer in the church these days, you know, to help us, you know, keep things up and clean and everything. Listen, do it as an act of worship to God. Do it believing that God is going to bless you and discipline in you, put some discipline in you, put some commitment in you that wasn't there before you volunteered. You know what happens when you do something that needs to be done in the kingdom of God for the benefit of others? It transforms you. You see, a lot of people come to the church and they say, what are you going to give me today? What are you going to do for me? It's me, me, me. You know what the middle letter in the word sin is? I'm in it for what's good for me. No, you come as a child of God to see what you can do for others. How can you stimulate others to love and good deeds? So when you pray, you pull on both oars. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help me get out of debt. That's an American problem, isn't it? Lord Jesus, I pray that when I go to the mailbox tomorrow, there'll be a check in the amount equal to my credit card debt. I believe, Lord Jesus, with all my heart that you're going to do it. And then you go, I got a word from God today. He's going to pay off my credit card debt. So you go out to the mailbox, and there ain't no money in there. God may be saying, get a second job. Get a third job. Turn off your cell phone. Turn off Dish Network. Stop going out to eat so much. Stop buying cars and things that you can't afford unless you put it on the credit card, and I'll show you how faith and obedience works. Start giving to the church instead of giving it to interest rates to the big banking corporations and see if God doesn't fill your lap full of blessings you can't contain. That's how faith works. You stop doing what God told you not to do in the first place and you start doing what God's already told you. God is working in the lives of his people. Look at verse 38. What kind of men were these? These were men and women, by the way. Rahab, for example. Whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. Men of faith. Women of faith. Paul was perhaps the greatest Christian of which we have an example in Holy Scripture. And did you know that people ridiculed him and stoned him and beat him and tried to kill him his whole life? Why? Because he was a man of faith. And all that the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, look at all of the people who are in the Scriptures. Look at Noah. Look at Moses. Look at Abraham. These men did not have lives of comfort and ease. These men died for their faith. These men sacrificed for the things of God. These men heard from God and they obeyed God. And God bore witness through their lives for His glory. Let us choose faith. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. And faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, but faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? But faith answers, I believe. Let us go on to faith. Let us go on to maturity in faith. God is waiting for a people to believe Him and not to just trust in themselves. How many times in the last 30 years I've heard people of God say, oh, we can't do that. That's the whole point. We can't do it, but God can do it. God can do it. I can't witness. No, you won't witness because you're afraid that if you obey God, somebody might get saved. You know what? They just might. You're afraid to give because you're afraid you can't pay your bills. Guess what? You're not giving and you still can't pay your bills. Give. There's something about giving that helps you manage your money better. Some of those who come to church on a regular basis have never trusted Christ because they think they can't measure up to the demands of God. Guess what? Nobody can. I can't, you can't, Billy Graham can't measure up to the faithfulness and the righteousness of God. We're saved by grace through faith. And so if God is calling you to Himself, then you have this oughtness, this desire in your heart to say yes to God, that you say no to sin. You say yes to God, and you, by faith, believing that He's moving, He's stirring your soul to receive salvation, you've, by faith, received salvation. And then once you receive salvation, you learn to walk in the truth and in the power of God's Word. Is God calling you today? As the Hebrews have said, the book of Hebrews has said over and over again, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart against Him. Say yes to God. Say yes to Him. You'll be glad you did. Let's stand and pray together this morning. Father, I thank You for this demonstration of faith we have in Scripture. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us, that You would call out those who need to be saved, that they would take hold of the gift that You're giving them, that they'd repent and receive Christ as their Savior. I pray for every believer that we stop listening to the doubters and start listening to the Word of God. That we stop listening to those who say we can't and they start listening to those who say we can. We'd be people of faith and not people of doubt. Because, Lord, You will not bless us unless we have faith. When we hear Your word, Lord, find in us a people who have courage to walk in the truth and to be all that You're showing us to be through Your word and by Your Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.